told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight. When he told you you're not worthy. When he told you you're not loved. When he told you you're not beautiful. You'll never be enough.
Amen. How's everybody doing today? Give me an amen. Let me know. I've got a good mic check going on. But wonderful song. I felt that was fitting for the message because fear is a liar, folks. And we all should know that. I mean, we should not fear. Fear should have no control over us. Fear should not have no dominion over us. Fear should not even be ruling to our hearts and our minds and everything else. I mean, we need to rebuke fear in the name of Jesus Christ. And I am glad that we are here because, again, we're not going to let fear stop us. We're going to keep on serving the Lord. And we're going to keep on doing what God does best by giving him the glory. Amen. And I'm so glad you are here tonight. One could not make it. She just got into the room, but she said she's dealing with the flu bears. I'm glad she's here. It's finally good to see some new faces. But, you know, she had to bow out because, again, having a flu is not fun. And all of us who's been sick, we know one time or another it's not fun being sick. I mean, it's just downright, you know, y'all know what I'm talking about. It's just downright, yeah, you know, you just don't like being sick. But, hey, folks, it's Friday night. Jimbo's old opening statement, y'all know what that is. It's time to hear the Word of God. And this is not about me, folks. I was talking to someone earlier this morning, and they kind of mentioned, well, Jim, you know, I noticed something different about you. You seem to have changed a little bit in your demeanor. And I said, well, it all goes to God, because God is the one that does everything. But, you know, I'm looking to the Lord. I'm leaning on the Lord. I'm basking in the joyness and the peace, you know, but I'm still not going to let fear steal that from me. I'm not going to let fear take it away from me. I'm not going to let stress or anything else take it away from me. I'm just here to serve God, to give Him the glory. The honor goes to Him. Everything about me that I do, whatever that I can do, it's all about Him and not me. And I don't want ever start pointing to me, looking me this and looking me that, because that's not what I want. That's not what I'm wanting. And it's going the same thing for this chat room, folks. You know, to me earlier, I was building this thing because I want to say, look at Brother Jim. Look at Brother Jim can build this chat. Look at Brother Jim can do this. Look at Brother Jim. See, I kept pointing all this to me, but it was not about me. And I had to step back. And I had to ask myself those hard questions. And I finally saw this was about me and this was not about God, period. And that had to change. Now, I put it in His hands. He is the one that's going to take care of this thing, not me. So however this thing grows or doesn't grow, that's up to Him. All of this is up to Him. Amen? So I'm glad you're here, because this message here, I've been giving this a lot of thought, you know, in light of what's been going on. And as I was sitting here writing this message, you know, and I sit here in my chair and I read a lot of articles, papers, books, magazines, links, and whatever, you know. And my thoughts was running, you know, even Saturday when I was messing around with my lawnmower, I was thinking, well, Lord, what's going to be the message this week? And as I started sitting here Monday writing this message and I was collecting my thoughts, I have to admit, friends, and I'm not going to stand here and lie to you, but I have to admit, the thought of fear a few times has crept into my mind. It has. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and point a picture to you and say, look at me, look what I'm doing, because, you know, it's not me. The thought of fear has crept into my mind. Now, considering in this area where I live, you know, I don't know how it is with you, but in this area where I live, when I started on this Monday, we had 140 cases of the virus, and it's been reported that 3 had died. As of today, we're up to 230. 10 has died in my area alone where I live. And like I was thinking, about the time I got ready to preach this message to you, I kind of had a feeling, you know, watching the news and reading the news and everything else, that the cases will increase and more deaths will occur. You know, I'm not saying this area is special for anyone else, but everybody's getting hit. We're all getting a hit at different rates because what's going on, these testings is coming out. So now they're using these test kits and all these other things. They start to find out, hey, we got a lot of infected people. We really do. But, you know, here in this area, we got 2 major ports. There's only 4 big ports in the United States, the biggest ports you can think of. 4. 2 of them just in here in this area alone where I live. I'm in between both of them, the port of Baton Rouge and the port of New Orleans. On top of this, just about, if you had a ride, I say about 2 miles to the west of me, is what we call the Choctaw Petroleum Oil Reserve for the whole continental United States. And on top of this, all of the natural gas that supplies the United States flows from here in Louisiana, from where I am at. We're the major hub. So I kind of had a feeling, you know, with foreign vessels coming in and foreign workers coming in, that, you know, I told my wife, I said, you know, us being in that area, I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing a rise in cases. And all of a sudden, when one case popped up, bam, it was like dominoes, it's starting to come out. But in light of all this, from what I have been reading, watching, and seeing on the news, fear and panic is now running rampant. And I was thinking, why? I'm sure that you've seen it. All you got to do is go to your local stores. You can see it on the news. Fear is running rampant. Chaos. Sadly, now people are resorting to fighting. And I'm thinking, why? 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 Well, folks, the number one reason is fear. 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 If the truth be told, we all have feared something at one point in our lives. If we're honest, all of us has feared something at one point in our lives. And I believe it's safe to say that we all have a fear of something. Right now, for many that's here in this room, for many in this world, we have something in our lives, and it's called COVID-19, or as we know it by the coronavirus. Now, what is worse is driving fears to a much higher level in this world. We live in a world where there's certainly no shortage of news. In fact, we got ABC News, NBC News, CBS News, all the local stations. We got the cable news network, Fox News. We got the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, local newspapers, and even the internet with its social media sites. And on top of all that, almost all these news organizations have in their own area, or so to speak, the kind of little sub-sites or websites. They all have their own little websites where any one of us right now can get up-to-the-minute news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And while all those news outlets are unique in some ways, they tend to share pretty much all the same news stories, or, and folks, I'm just saying that this is just me, so don't hold me to it, but I'm not saying some do, I'm not, but many are ramping up the stories for ratings, and in terms, what it's doing is causing nothing more than fear. It's causing fear to go on the rise. That's all it's doing. No matter how frustrating, confusing, or scary this crisis gets, fear, my friends, does not have the final say. Let me repeat that again so you get this clear. Fear, my friends, does not have the final say. If you got your Bibles with you, it'll be posted here in the room for you to read. We're going to be reading from 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. And notice what it says. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. Let's pray. My Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight, and I submit myself to you and your authority. Father, if there's any thoughts within my mind, any thoughts that I have not confessed to you before the start of this service, Father, if there's anything harboring in me I have not confessed to you, any sins that I have allowed to creep into my heart, my mind, or this household. I ask of you right now for your forgiveness, for I have fallen short of your precious glory. Father, I don't intend to sin. I don't try to sin on purpose, but I'm not going to lie to you, I do. So this is why I'm standing right now asking for your forgiveness. Father, we got so many people in this room right now. I'm sure they're looking at the news and they're hearing on the radios. And they're concerned. And they're thinking. And they're wondering, God, what's up? And I'm pretty sure if they're like me, I'm praying, Father, slow this disease down. Or better yet, put an end to this virus. Father, I'm asking you right now, those who are here tonight, who may be feeling down, dealing with things in their families. We got one that's in the hospital from some kind of bug bite. He's infected. And I'm asking, because again, all I can do is ask what you said to do, what I've been reading. Jesus said in himself, if we ask you anything in his name, it shall be done. And I'm going to take you for your word. So we got many in this room that's dealing with things. Some probably have some fear. Whatever it may be, I ask of you, Father, anoint them, be with them, love them, let them know, child, it's okay. Nothing to fear. And I'm saying this, Father, because we know by the word you always told us, fear not. Fear not. And there was a reason for that. So I ask of you to put a protective hedge around all of them. And Father, we will submit to your will, to your authority. And we ask of you to let your work be done through us. Encourage us. Give us the wisdom, the understanding. And Father, fear has sometimes robbed us of other precious things such as joy and peace. And this is why I'm asking. This is why I am saying this. I'm binding this in the name of Jesus to send that demon away from all of us and restore us to that glory. Father, I love you, I praise you, and I honor you. I give everything back to you in the sweet name of Jesus. And we all say, amen. So my friends, when I sat here and wrote this message, and I started on it Monday, and this is just me, and I always put titles to my message. I don't know why, this is just the way I was trained. But the message of this, or the title of this message tonight is, don't give into fear. Don't give into fear, please. In our scripture reading we just read, we learned that all our hope is built on perfect love of Jesus Christ. And we've been called to share that love with the world, all of us. That's exactly what we've been called to do, to share that love. And quite honestly, that's exactly, I believe, what many of us will be doing in the upcoming weeks and probably months as more and more people in our community are in need or getting sick. So how do we show that even now with so many churches around the country or have suspended their worship service in response to the coronavirus? With the decisions dependent on the size, their proximity to the outbreak, and perhaps even their political leanings. Have they given into fear? Have they? Or are they being wise to help slow down the spread of this infection? And in light of this fear that is hitting in all places of the world, here in America, we have seen our country gripped with this crippling fear. That fear has severely affected our economy. It's causing numerous closures of schools and workplaces, lockdowns, closures of stores. And even many stores in our areas are completely wiped out of items needed for daily living. And because of that, now panic has drastically set in, and sadly, as I said earlier, fighting is breaking out just for the bare necessities. Go on YouTube and look at it, man. I'm telling you, it's just for a package of toilet paper, people are willing to tear each other down now. Sheriff's Department has to have been called out for the stores here in this area because they know when the trucks are starting to come in now. They know the times, they're getting wise to that. And the cops have to go there to stop them from fighting. Folks are in fear. They're in panic. They're in chaos. People are fearful of traveling, especially by air or cruise ships. They're fearful of the neighbors who might look different. They're fearful of seeing people wearing masks. You want to see? Put one on like I did the other day when I had to go to the store. The looks that I got, oh my goodness. They're fearful of the possibility of becoming infected themselves. They're scared. They're frightened. And folks, I'm talking about everybody, Christians in general. Never, and I had to think about this, folks, never did the words, and I had to look this up because I do look for illustrations for my messages a lot, but I had to look up the words of Henry, H-E-N-R-I, Nowen, that's N-O-W-N. I don't know if any of you heard of him, but never before did the words of Henry Nowen ring truer today when he wrote that we who live in this century are fearful people. Fear is a devastating controller. When one is governed by fear, they are no longer guided by the faith of God. When you are governed by fear, friends, you are not guided by the faith of God. Look what Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25 says. And pay special attention to that. The fear of man brings a snare. The fear of man brings a snare. And look at the rest of it. Well, whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. So who are you going to fear, man or God? And who are you going to trust, man or God? Look at those words. But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Now you say, well, Jim, that's fine, but you know what? I'm not going to go out there and try to get myself exposed. Okay, no, I'm not saying that. We need to exercise wisdom. God gives us a brain to use it. But if we become infected, then okay. We still have to trust in God, right? Come on, somebody help me here. Throw me a bone, right? Yes. I know it's fearful. I know it's frightening. Another person I was talking to the other day, a Christian, says, well, Jim, I don't know what I'm going to do if I get infected. I said, well, what do you mean? Well, I might die. Well, ain't you born again? Well, yeah. Well, you done died already. But you've been born again. Man, you win. We're not promised to live here forever. Look, I'm frightened by death sometimes too. But I know where my kingdom lies. It's in the kingdom of God, not here on earth. Yeah, I would like to try to live to be an old goat, maybe hang on to a walker when I walk, but you know what? I have to trust God. God is the one that determines how long we all live. folks. It can be tonight, after this message, all of a sudden, the country's in such chaos and panic, they launch all the nuclear weapons to start just wiping everything out. You see where I'm going? Fear loves to drive chaos. Fear. We're not supposed to fear it. And in our message tonight, folks, look, we're going to look at as to why fear is so devastating and why we should not be governed by it and what effect it will cause. The first thing we need to look at, you and I, and anybody else who listens to this message on that site that I have, you know, if you listen to the message, please pay attention to the wordings here. What we need to look at, the first thing, is the cause of fear. The cause of fear. Fear always has a definite object. Or definite, if you want to pronounce it like that. Some folks said definite. But fear always has a definite object. Every fear object is something we perceive as both present and powerful. Something over which we have no control. This is where fear differs from worry. This is where fear differs from worry. When people worry about something uncertain or unknown, worry will often give way to fear. Fear is most often the result of threats, whether real or perceived, and they are these things. Threaten danger. Mostly is, which is crime, war, violent weather, sudden illness. All these things can cause an apprehension because the uncertainty and the feeling of helplessness that surrounds them. Or threaten values. We become anxious when the freedom and other things we value are in danger of being undermined or taken away. One result of terrorism is clearly seen in the statement that America has been changed forever. How about this? The threat of conflict. Conflict causes anxiety because we perceive the adversity or the adversary as being powerful, casting doubt on the outcome of the struggle. Other dangers of fear is it causes irrational and perceived threats. Do you get that? The other dangers of fear causes irrational and perceived threats. According to one study, fear often arises because people have irrational beliefs such as everything is going to get worse and nothing could be done. When you fear, my friends, that the worst will happen, your own thoughts may help to bring it about. That's right. Your own thoughts, my friends, may help bring it about. Someone once wrote this. Fear is the wrong use of imagination. It is anticipating the worst, not the best, that can happen. And another quote that I found, Max Lucado wrote, this is what he wrote concerning fear. His modus operandi is to manipulate you with the mysteries, to taunt you with the unknown. Fear of death, fear of failure, fear of God, fear of tomorrow. His arsenal is fast. Wow. Fear is a powerful weapon. His goal? Very simple. His goal is to create cowardly, joyless souls. That's what fear sets out to do. And I'm not trying to say this in a bad way, but if we give in to fear, what we as Christians are basically telling God, God, I don't trust you. God, I don't trust you. That's what we're saying when we give in to fear, friends. It makes us cowardly. It makes us joyless because it robs us of that basic essential. Fear should not have no dominion over none of us. None. And his goal, on top of this, he doesn't want you to make the journey to the mountain. That's what fear don't want you to do. He figures if he can rattle you enough, you would take your eyes off the peaks and settle for a dull existence in the flatlands. That's what fear thinks he can do. That's what fear wants to do. Fear wants you to take your eyes off the author and finisher of our faith. That's what fear wants. Fear wants to tell you, don't trust God. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what fear wants. That's what fear is all about. So now that we see the cause of fear, we, my friends, we need to look at the next thing, and that is this. The cure for fear. We addressed the causes of fear. Now we're going to address the cure for fear. And all of us, we all should know the cure for all our fears. And that is, you ready for this? We should trust in God. We should trust in God. Walk in daily contact with Him every moment of your life. Every moment, not when something comes at you, not when you're having troubles in your family and your relationship and other things. You should trust in God daily with Him. Daily. John Wetherspoon, he wrote this, and I like how he quoted this. John Wetherspoon wrote, "It is only the fear of God that can deliver us from the fear of man." Let me repeat that. It is only the fear of God that can deliver us from the fear of man. See, when even you look at the Philippian church in the Bible, when you look at what they were going through, the troubles they had. Humanly speaking, folks, when you really study Philippians very carefully, they had every reason to be anxious. They were suffering persecutions. You can see that in Philippians chapter 1, verse 28 through 29. B, there was disunity and arguing in the church. They were fighting like crazy. Philippians chapter 4, verse 2. See, there were false teachers seeking to gain a foothold in the church. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. And worst of all, D, there were those in need of daily necessities. They needed necessities. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. They were under control of fear. They were not trusting in God. See, folks, the facts remains. Look what Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says. It's right there in black and white. Well, in your Bible, it's black and white. But Look what Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, folks. And I love the passage. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. Let your request be known to God, my friends. And basically what this is telling us, be careful for nothing. That's what it's telling us. Be careful for nothing. Or in a sense, be anxious for nothing. Not even having a distracting care for not even one thing. It tells us not to have a distracting care, not for even one thing. That's what it's telling us. Look at it. Why am I saying this? Why? Well, for one reason, folks. Here you go. For one reason, this is why I'm saying this. Fear imprisons while faith liberates. Fear paralyzes, but faith empowers. Fear disheartens. Faith encourages. Fear weakens. Faith empowers. Fear shipwrecks. Faith equips. Fear causes hopelessness, while faith rejoices in the power and the presence of the Almighty God. Wow, what a contrast. And I don't know how I stumbled across this. This had to be God. But I read this somewhere. I got it off the internet. But I can't remember who it was by. But they said this. And I love this quote. I would rather walk with God in the dark than go alone in the light. Puzzling quote, is it? But I get it. I would rather walk alone with God in the dark than go alone in the light. Folks, the more we depend on God, listen to this, the more you depend on God. Put your name in there. More I, Jimmy, depend on God, the more dependable we find he is. There's no panic in trust. There's no fear in trust. Folks, we have peace when we trust in God and leave it into his hands. You got that joy. You got that peace. You got life when you leave it into his hands. Quit worrying. Quit with those fearful thoughts. But I said, well, Jim, but no buts. Look, I know it's difficult at times. I know it's hard. I'm no spring chicken. We all been there, and we're still going through it. But folks, something I recently learned myself. If you lost your joy, you better find out who took it and get it back. And once you get it back, look out. We trust in God and leave it into his hands. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. I feel my throat going dry, but I ain't going to fear that. In closing, now that we understand the fear for what it is and what we are to do about it, how you and I, as Christians, should act, or what should we do? How we as Christians should act, or What should we do? If I had that little theme song from Jeopardy, I'd be playing. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Simple, folks. I'm going to give you the answers. And it's very easy. Very easy. This ain't no hard question. What should we do? How should we handle it? We learn to cope and trust in God. That's it. We learn to cope and trust in God. Now, you probably think, come on, Jim, don't leave me hanging like this, bro. There got to be more to it than that. No, there's not. I'm going to tell you why. Because the Word of God says so. So how do we as Christians do this? How do we cope and how do we trust in God? Well, admit your fears, your insecurities, and anxieties. How you do that? Go tell God about them. Go tell God about them. Said, Lord, we need to have a talk. You and me, one-on-one. Another way that I'm finding that helps now, talk with others. Trust them. I know sometimes, even us in this chat room thingy, it's hard to trust people, you know, with these names that's sitting behind some computer somewhere throughout the world behind a screen claiming to be something and you don't really know. We all been hurt by people all over the internet. But let God lead your heart. Don't put up that resistance and trust in someone. I love talking to other ministers. My reason for that, because they have been through the battle. I've been through certain things, and maybe things that I say to them, they kind of pick up on it, and things they say to me, I pick up on. But it encouraged me to talk to another brother on the front line. But I love talking to other Christians, true blue Christians, who has been through it all. Because again, I might be dealing something or dealing with something, and I might talk to another brother and sister, and I find out they just went through it. Or they were afraid of that or this or whatever. Then that kind of gives me a guideline to go by. Then next time, you know what? So-and-so told me they had that same problem. Talk with others, friends. Why I say this? Because look, it's very simple. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. Philippians 2, 2 to 3 says so right there. Look what it says. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. What we ought to do, friends, we are to lift each other up and forget about ourselves. We must learn how to die to self. It's not about us. It's not about Brother Jim. It's not about this chat room. It's about bringing honor and glory to the Almighty God Himself. This is why we are of one mind, one accord. We are in one spirit, friends, and we should be helping each other and not ripping each other apart and not tearing each other apart and not bringing someone down and not name-calling and doing none of that crazy stuff. Come on! What's wrong with us? And you wonder why virus is running rampant in our world today. I think God has had enough of us. He's sick of us. And we're giving in to fear because we're saying, God, I'm going to stay home and wear my mask because I don't trust you. Be careful of fear. The bottom line is share our burdens. Now, there are other ways, too. The other ways are we learn to cope and trust in God. There are other ways of doing that. Anyway, there are some ways that I do. Maybe this will help you. And what we need to do, we need to keep things in perspective. Look what Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says about that. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Remember this most of all, folks. And some people don't like this when you say that. Oh, no, I don't agree with that. Yeah, I got control over some of these things. Well, folks, they're wrong, because remember this most important, that God is in full control. Even though we see chaos and wars and disease and famine and earthquakes and you name it, we see everything just coming apart from around us. We think, oh, God, everything is out of control. But it's not. God's probably shaking his head at us and saying, y'all don't get it yet, do you? I got this in control. I got this in control. How do I know that? Look what Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We should know that passage by heart. We all should know it by heart. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Wow. We are called, my friends. All of us. Come on. They don't get your noggin shaking or whatever. Something's wrong. If you're still afraid of something, then something's wrong. Now, here's something that I found also on the internet. I also look for things in quotes. I don't know if you ever heard of this guy called Sam Shoemaker. At first, when I saw that, that can't be a real name. Sam Shoemaker? Yeah, come on. But that was his name. That's what he quoted. He quoted this in Christianity Today. This is what he said. And after I read that, I reread it, I said, you know what? I got to use that in this message. This is good. And this is what he said in Christianity Today. There are, in every situation, two factors. There is what happens, and there is how we take what happens. You get that? He said two factors. In every situation, there is what happens, and there is how we take what happens. And folks, how we take what happens goes back to what kind of person we are and what kind of belief we have about life as a whole. If the whole scheme of life is not a scheme at all, but chaos, if there is no thread of purpose running through it at all, but only confusion, then our misfortunes are just a part of the general mess. That's what it is. But on a glimmer of hope, if there is a God, God is. And if life is his creation, with meaning in the middle of it, then you and I may hope to discover a pattern which will both give coherence to it all and help interpret any one event in the unfoldment. I know that's a little deep. It kind of sounds like Gandhi a little bit, but no, folks, that is right. If God is in the middle of it and we discover that pattern, it gives cohesiveness to life. peace, joy, happiness, fulfillment. Why? Very simple. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says. Very simple, folks. I love that passage. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, look at those last words. Meditate on these things. Meditate on these things. Oh, God. Oh. Oh. Your awesome power. Help us in our time of need, Lord. Take that fear away from us. And empower us with your Holy Spirit. Folks, we can handle our fears when we realize that God gives us a spirit of self-control. We all know that passage is Galatians 5, 22 through 25. All your answers are in those passages right there. But when we realize that God gave you and I a spirit of self-control, but many times we fail because we lack self-control. Many lives have been ruined as a result of lack of self-control. But also, folks, God gives us a spirit of self-control. Self-control allows us to live and mix with the world, to be exposed to various events and trials, and yet still be able to regulate our behavior. Self-control denotes careful, sensible thinking. It has the ability to think clearly with the wisdom and understanding that God gives us. We do not have a spirit of fear, friends. We do not have a spirit of fear because fear is one of the main driving forces of society today. Politicians are masters of this fear. Fear will cause irrational thinking and actions. Irrational thoughts and speculations swirl within the mind when fear rules. In fact, my friends, here's the good news. Jesus himself calls us to an orderly thought process. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus has called us to an orderly thought process. Self-control allows us the opportunity to be victorious in what we do. Self-control allows us to be victorious in what we do, my friends. See, Jesus himself knew how relevant this command was on fear not. He knew this when he said that. He just didn't say it. Well, let me just throw something to these folks so that way when they hear it now and read it 2,000 years later, they'll be thinking, well, what was he talking about, fear not? Apparently, he ain't living in my shoes. Apparently, he ain't dealing with some, you know, kids in my house. Apparently, he ain't dealing with my finances. Apparently, he ain't dealing that my car's broke down. Apparently, he ain't dealing with I'm about to be thrown out on the street. Yeah, Jesus knew. He knew. That's why he told us, fear not. I'm throwing this out the window a little bit, folks, but we all should know that other passage, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. What does it say? Somebody throw a bone out there. I know Lisa's going to type it. But look what Philippians 4, 19 says, folks. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Whoa. Come on. Somebody give me an amen on that one. You see, Jesus himself knew. He knew how relevant this command was on fear not would be throughout the entire ages. Considering that it is the most discussed topic in all scriptures in the Bible, with this single command repeated more than 300 times in the Bible. 300 times that particular phrase is repeated. Fear not. Folks, what that is telling us, God tells us not to be afraid over and over again for a good reason. Fear is a crippling motivator, as evidenced by our border culture's current reaction to the coronavirus. More than this, you and I, are no longer slaves to fear, because God has promised to be with us and for us in sickness and in health, in joy and in sorrow. And last but not least, my friends, my fellow Christians, y'all brothers and sisters, y'all my fellow Christians, for many reasons, as I just said, Jesus has given us a command to fear not. And for doing so, listen to this, he gave us the command, you and I, to fear not. And doing so, what we do, we reject fear. We reject panic. We reject self-preservation. Instead, we may live as the light he has equipped us to do, to be in the world, overcome by pain and fear. And finally, with this, we can treat a global outbreak as an occasion to remember how the faithful have responded to such things in the past, and that is to trust in Jesus Christ. That's how we overcome fear. Amen. Let's pray.